The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined by Catherine Fitzgerald. As always, we are here to wrap the Bills season and probably not much to talk about, right, Catherine?
Oh, you know, not a newsy week at all.
Yeah, it hasn't been much that's happened since we talked last. we're being extremely sarcastic, of course, Catherine. To start off, we have to revisit the press conference. Now, Sean McDermott was fired on Monday, which was after the Bills lost to the Denver Broncos in the AFC divisional round 33-30 in overtime, and after locker cleanout, after exit interviews. So players found out on social media. It all kind of came to a head, and we finally heard on Wednesday Terry Pegula's explanation for his decision to fire Sean McDermott.
We did. It was a 54-minute press conference, I believe.
Yes.
Around that.
Right around
From both Terry Pegula and Brandon Bean. But I think just the crux of hearing Terry Pegula delve into his decision, because this was his decision. He made that very clear. He started off saying, my decision to bring in a new coach was based on the results of our game in Denver. And then he got into the locker room scene of seeing Josh Allen crying, seeing other players crying, and just thinking, I can't keep doing this. They can't keep doing this. That is where the firing was rooted. He did talk about previous playoff exits, but it really felt kind of like a knee-jerk reaction to that Denver loss.
Yeah, of course. And I don't think I understand what he was trying to say, because he was trying, it took him a little bit, but he framed it as, yeah, like 13, he brought up 13 seconds. He brought up those previous playoff losses. So he had very logical reasons to fire Sean McDermott between the defensive struggles in the playoffs. I mean, at some point after 9 years, you feel like you need a new voice. He kind of botched the explanation a bit, because not only had he admitted he hadn't considered it at all up until that moment in the locker room in Denver, really, but he didn't really take any time to mull it over. It didn't go back and forth. He just decided, we're getting a new coach, and that was that.
Yeah, that was one of my questions for him during the press conference of, you know, what happened during those 36 hours between seeing the scene in the locker room Denver, and then the Monday morning is when the news broke that Sean had been fired, and he basically was like, nope, never went back on my decision, just, you know, stuck to it. I do find that timing a little curious. You know, if you decide, I understand, I've covered teams before that have fired coaches after locker room clean out, because that way players don't have to talk about it. I get that framing.
And I think that was a piece of it, right?
Yeah. I was curious a bit about how players found out from social media, he said, and how it sounds like he did have conversations with Josh Allen after the fact, but per Terry Pegula, Josh Allen was not involved in this decision.
It's a tough look, right? I mean, especially your franchise quarterback, your most important player, not only him, but I mean, Terry Pegula in this press conference, he came across as a bit cold and callous. I know part of it was he really wanted to defend his general manager, because he entrusted his entire franchise right now to Brandon Bean, not only by keeping his general manager, Catherine, but giving him a promotion through all of this. And Terry Pegula made it clear he was a little bit frustrated by some of the criticisms directed at Brandon Bean and wanted to use this press conference to clarify some of the narratives in his mind that were inaccurate. But at the same time, I think in trying to protect Brandon Bean and provide clarity, he did kind of hurt some of his players along the way by showing that he really didn't care about their reactions on social media. We're going to get into Keon Coleman later.
Yes,
but it is tough. And I think just even the delay between the announcement and when Terry Pegula spoke just goes to show you, it's not like this isn't something that they had that was premeditated. This wasn't planned, because they would have had a press conference right away. We would have heard about candidates pretty quickly, but he made his decision, and that's when they had to start making calls and arranging some of these interviews.
Yes, and we'll talk more about this all until there is a new head coach, but Brandon Bean was saying it's 100% an open search. You know, it's not like Terry Pegula fired Sean McDermott and was like, I know exactly who I'm going with next. And, you know, we have some candidates at this point. We can talk about that a little later, too. But I don't know. I had said in our previous podcast that I was surprised by the decision, and I think I still left the press conference with some more questions.
Yeah, of course. It does remind me, having covered the Sabres, some of Terry Pegula's decisions in the past. When he makes up his mind, he makes up his mind. And sometimes that is in the heat of the moment, which we've seen with the Sabres, where he gets to a point where he says, I'm firing this person, and he fires them. And there's others where it builds. This one, clearly, based on his explanation, it happened. We move on. I'm not sure I believe that they don't have somebody in mind, or at least have a pretty good idea of maybe a couple of key candidates. But it's going to be a very interesting couple of months. But based on what we saw from the owner in that press conference, Catherine, I think what would be best is let Brandon Bean run the search. Let him take control of this. You promoted him. You sat in front of everybody at that press conference and really, and correctly pointed out how many smart people are around Brandon Bean. Well, let Brandon Bean and those smart people find you the right replacement.
Lance, you were just talking about Brandon Bean having strong people around him to do this coaching search, and he will lead it. I found it interesting how we heard from him that, he's not looking to get this promotion and then hire a new GM come April, May, something like that. He intends to stay in both roles. Now that'll start with a lot of high pressure on this coaching search.
Yeah, no, and I do wonder, it almost just seems like he even said, not much is going to change in terms of our reporting structure, how we do things. So I just wonder if it's a promotion. Let's face it, like Josh Allen has a good relationship with Brandon Bean. And if you're firing Josh Allen's coach without consulting him, I think it would also help to inspire confidence with your quarterback. Listen, like, we really believe in this, in your general manager so much that we're giving him a different title. He's going to be one leading the search. It's not going to be an ownership led thing. Like, Brandon Bean is our guy. We have full belief in him. We have full belief in you. And it was interesting because Brandon Bean also, throughout that press conference, he had been pretty defensive the last couple of times he spoke through the media, whether it be about the wide receivers, his decision, the inability to acquire somebody before the trade deadline. This was his mea culpa in a lot of ways, by taking some ownership about some of the decisions he made, and a passionate defense of himself because of the thought out there that he had a hand in Sean McDermott's firing.
Yeah, there have been some wild memes on social media, I would say, about the theory that he was a snake in this process. And I'm not endorsing those, just saying they're out there.
Yep.
And I would say that was the most emotional Brandon Bean we had seen in a while, of just kind of his self-defense of, this was not a power play, which led to more social media jokes about the Sabres power play, which I'm sure
the Sabres power play has been kind of a problem for a few years. So I can understand why that suddenly becomes the butt of the joke.
But Brandon Bean talking about how this was not a power dynamic struggle, and Terry Pegula jumping in to say that if he thought it had been a power play, they both would have been out.
I'll leave that one alone because I don't believe that for a second. But I do believe Brandon Bean in what he said in that moment. I think there is a misconception in some ways that Brandon got Sean fired. But the fact of the matter is, like, these two, they've worked so closely for so long, and over time, like, you have disagreements about the roster. Terry Pegula pointed that out. And I think at a certain point, like, their disagreements on certain players and certain acquisitions became a little bit more, maybe not more frequent, but they stood out a little bit more. And some of the situations this season just kind of added to the noise or added fuel to the fire, whether it's, the Darius Slay thing, which Brandon Bean explained to us, it wasn't him going rogue, everybody was on the same page, or Sean McDermott bringing up Jakobi Meyers twice in 3 days when nobody asked about Jakobi Meyers. So, like, I understand the perception there. I think it came to a point where Terry Pegula wanted to make a change rather than doing a clean sweep. He really believes in his general manager. Now, we could sit here and argue or debate that point, but that is what he chose to do. And I think part of that too, Catherine, is, I mean, Brandon Bean brought him Josh Allen. Brandon Bean hired that staff that deserves a lot of credit, or most of the credit, for all those mid and late round draft picks who have had success. Now, there have been some missteps along the way, and those all can't be pinned on Sean McDermott's coaching staff, but I think that you weigh positives and negatives, that's what led Terry Pagula's decision. Now, this is a big offseason for Brandon Bean. Not only does he have to get this hire right, and by right, I mean somebody who you can't have a drop-off. I know Terry Pagula said, I'm not expecting Super Bowl or bust here, but there is going to be a ton of pressure going into this job. You have to maintain and build on the culture that Sean McDermott created. You got to win over the locker room. And this is a tough free agency period. This is a tough offseason. You have some very important free agents. You don't have a whole lot of money to work with. And you might be bringing in a coach who wants different players on one or both sides of the ball.
Right. It's, I think, a lot moving forward for Brandon Bean. And you know, like you said, he accepted the responsibility of that role of things, missteps in the past. But I thought it was interesting how Terry a couple times was like, it could have been the wrong decision, but it's the decision I made. I know that doesn't necessarily instill confidence, but I appreciated his transparency there of we're all going to find out in real time of how effective this was.
He acknowledged the risk.
He acknowledged the risk.
And it is a significant risk in so many ways. And I think that to try to mitigate that risk, I think it will influence who they do hire. Like, for example, they're not going to bring in some – I know Brandon Bean kept the door open to bring somebody in who's going to have drastically different scheme. And I think they're going to try to make this as smooth of a transition as possible by bringing in a coach who – yeah, the defense is going to be different, but it's not going to be on the complete opposite side of, you know, the pendulum's not going to swing the complete opposite way. They're going to try to, because they've got a lot of players on that defense that are good. It's like you're just going to, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because you got rid of your head coach sort
100%.
Of thing. 100%. Catherine, to rewind to the Bills playoff loss, wide receivers, in my opinion, weren't a big issue in that game. And part of that reason I thought was, you know, Keon Coleman made some nice plays. Keon Coleman at the end of the season hadn't played a whole lot since that disciplinary benching several weeks ago. But you felt like, you know, good plays, probably going into the offseason, got to be feeling a little bit better about himself, probably got the same message he got a year ago, or at least a similar one. Yeah, and then the press conference came on Wednesday.
Yes, and all that goodwill was, I would say, blown up.
Yes.
To put it lightly, in a question about the wide receiver room that did mention Keon among other players, it was not a Keon-specific question, a question to Brandon Bean. Terry Pagula jumped in to interrupt, and he pinned the Keon draft pick on the Bills coaching staff. Now, he was not specific about who on the coaching staff. I think that's important to note, but I still... It's
bad.
Keon's on the roster.
Yeah, he's on the roster. There's, I mean, at least two more years on his contract. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
You don't have, it's not like you have all this cap space, all this draft capital that you can go get like an elite receiver, completely transform that room. Like that guy needs to be on your team next year, probably. And you just threw him under the bus for no reason.
And it got, I would say, more confusing from there,
yes.
Where eventually Brandon Bean was pushing back saying, no, this was my draft pick. I wouldn't draft someone if I wasn't signing off on them. So it just got very muddled and messy, and all of it ends with just wherever Keon is just kind of being like, hello,
yeah.
What?
Again, some pretty hilarious memes were put out there in regarding that whole situation. But no, this is a case where regardless of what the Bills' plan is for Keon Coleman, you know, you talk about, we heard across the season, Catherine, that Keon Coleman has to rebuild trust and his relationship with his teammates and the coaches after that benching. Now it goes the other way. Like the organization, the owner, the GM, they need to rebuild that trust with a player that, like, I understand, like you can be frustrated, you can try to push back on narratives and defend your general manager, but you got to be more careful than that. And if you're a player in that locker room, you've seen what, like, Keon Coleman, to his credit, he's taken ownership for what he did. You know, he's tried to improve. You heard from the coaches and his teammates about better habits late in the season. And then for him to be just kind of used as an example to defend the general manager. And it was messy. I didn't like it. I didn't like it for the player. I didn't like it for the entire team. And, you know, Brandon Bean tried to clean it up. But you know, at that point, I think, Catherine, the damage is done in some ways.
I want to harp on your point about other players on the team, too, seeing this and just kind of being like, what's going on? You know, if they're saying this about Keon, what are they saying about me? I think that building trust is going to go a little further when it's something, you know, just a misstep like this by Terry Pegula that, again, came from the intention of trying to defend the man that he was putting his trust in and promoting, but ended up just kind of a player catching a stray, which I do not think this is – that is not what this press conference needed.
No, it's not. It was totally unnecessary, and I'm sure after the fact, Terry probably realized that he screwed up, or at least you would hope that he realized that he screwed up. And that's going to be such a big position going to this offseason. Like, there's so much talk about this wide receiver room, Catherine. The head coach hire, whoever the play caller is, whatever the offense is going to look like, is going to play a role in that. But they're going to have to rebuild some trust with that locker room. A lot of guys like Sean McDermott. I know that Terry Pegula said that he didn't pay attention or really even consider what their reactions would be, but it does matter. You're going to have to hire somebody who's going to come in here and be able to win over that locker room, because this was just handled in a very messy way. And that's not the fault of Brandon Bean, in my opinion. A lot of it is the owner in terms of the timing of it, the way that it was handled, and the messaging that came out after the fact.
We know moving forward that Josh Allen is going to have a hand in that coaching search. I think it is very important they get his opinion. I don't want them to overvalue. I don't want his opinion to dictate this coaching search. You know, he was a big proponent of Ken Dorsey, who unfortunately didn't work out for this team. Big proponent of Keon Coleman, who, you know, there's work to be done there as far as, you know, everything we just hit on. But I still think his opinion is important because, you know, so much of this decision is about getting, maximizing Josh Allen's window and getting him to get this team a Super Bowl.
Yeah, because even if you sit here, Catherine, and you think about the candidates that that Josh Allen is closest with, there's three of them. Brian Daboll, Joe Brady, Davis Webb.
You can't
just hire any of those three just to appease Josh Allen. Each of those three has pretty big questions to answer in their interview to instill confidence that they're the person that you hire. But Josh Allen isn't the only player that matters on this team. I know that he's a huge part of that, and you have to have his feedback. He needs to be involved in this process, but you need a coach who's able to touch every player in the room with their words and their way that they try to motivate. And that is something that Sean McDermott did extremely well. He had players on both sides of the ball that really enjoyed him, that really respected him, and are disappointed in the news. So you're going to have to – This is a difficult situation to navigate, but I think that there are so many factors that come into this hire. And you look back at the playoffs and that loss in Denver, Catherine, I know that we can sit here and, you know, Josh Allen had a big hand in it. He owned it. There's no doubt about it. Your quarterback turning the ball over four times, that is, and one of those turnovers, we can debate the validity of it or if it was a catch or not.
Terry will debate it as well.
But still, too many turnovers. Fact of the matter is, though, if you look back, Catherine, a lot of the Super Bowl teams over the years, a quarterback usually has a bad game in the playoffs. Their defense is usually able to pick them up. And I think that the defense is going to have to play a role in this hire. I'm not suggesting they hire a defensive-minded coach, Catherine. I think it's going to be the opposite of that. But whomever they hire has to have a very concrete plan on how to fix that defense, because Brandon Bean threw a ton of resources into that roster on that side of the ball. Draft picks, you know, the Von Miller signing, injury had a big piece of that, but they spent a lot to try to strengthen that side of the roster and cater to like the very specific kinds of players that Sean McDermott wanted. Who are you going to bring in to fix the defense? Because again, like, we can talk about all these playoff losses. There's some mistakes in game from a coaching perspective. The offense has the ball late in games with a chance to win and doesn't get it done. But you can't expect to win these, you know, AFC championship games or divisional rounds when you're giving up 30 plus points and 400 yards. Like, your defense has to get better, and that has to be a big part of their hiring process here. Who, if you're an offensive coach, who are you bringing in to fix this defense?
It's a great question, and one we'll be tracking very thoroughly, I would say. We know at this point the Bills have completed an interview with Joe Brady, their current offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll's coming in today. Today, as we record, is also Davis Webb's birthday. So
happy birthday, Davis.
Happy birthday, Davis. He's turning 31. but we'll have plenty of news.
Sentences that make you feel old.
I shook as I said it. Yeah. But we'll be following this coaching search and all the continued aftermath of that press conference on BuffaloNews.com. We'll be back to record shortly, so make sure you're subscribing at BuffaloNews.com for all of our content.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.